Good Monday to you, my Walking with Jesus friends. Contagious is a word that sends a shiver up our spine, doesn't it? In recent years, we think of COVID that nearly closed down entire nations. Generations ago, there were other very contagious diseases like smallpox. Today, let's rejoin the prophet Elisha as he encounters a man with leprosy. The story is found in 2 Kings chapter 5, and we're introduced to a man named Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram. Aram was the name for the nation which is today modern Syria, and its capital then, as now, was Damascus. Aram was then, as today, an antagonistic bordering nation to Israel, very much like modern times. From generation to generation, relations between these two nations rose and fell, depending on kings, economies, climate conditions, and other variables. The record concisely gives us this overview. Now, Naaman was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. Oh my, there's a great deal in that one sentence, isn't there? Leprosy was greatly feared in those days, and lepers were normally treated worse than animals. Usually, they were forced to live apart from their families, out in the wilderness, away from people, for fear their contagious disease would infect others. Some people felt leprosy was a curse from God, so anyone who had it was to be shunned. But I'm fascinated that this leper, Naaman, had been so successful on the battlefield, so highly regarded, that evidently at least the military people and the king of Aram were willing to overlook his leprosy, or at least they kept a safe distance with respect. I presume Naaman's leprosy was not advanced and was probably not yet disfiguring his face or hands or other visible parts of his body, and he likely wore clothing that covered up any visible leprous spots. Now, friends, did you notice this phrase about Naaman? Through him, the Lord had given victory to Aram. What? Does that mean God was actually leading this Syrian commander of soldiers to be successful against the armies of Israel? Yes, that's exactly what it means. You'll remember Israel had been under the harsh and wicked leadership of King Ahab and Queen Jezebel for 21 years, and after their deaths, Prince Ahaziah became king of Israel, and his reign is summarized with these few words. Ahaziah, son of Ahab, became king of Israel in Samaria, and he reigned over Israel 2 years. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, because he followed the ways of his father and mother and of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, who caused Israel to sin. He served and worshipped Baal and aroused the anger of the Lord, the God of Israel, just as his father had done. 1 Kings chapter 22. 2 Kings chapter 3 tells us another son of Ahab named Joram succeeded wicked King Ahaziah when Ahaziah died, and he was not much better. The wicked 12-year reign of King Joram can be summarized this way. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, although not quite as bad as his parents. He is to be commended for removing the sacred sacrificial stone of Baal, which Ahab had put in Samaria. Nevertheless, Joram followed most of the wicked practices of those who preceded him, and he too led Israel into great sin against God. It was during this time God evidently raised up Naaman, the commander of the Syrian army, to attack Israel victoriously from time to time. That, my friends, is a consistent theme throughout history. God will not allow his people to indefinitely profane his holy name through their wicked and immoral behavior and forsaking God to worship man-made idols. God's patience will run out, and many times in history, God has raised up adversaries against Israel as God's discipline for Israel's wickedness and their rebellion against the God of Israel. Now ponder that a moment as you look at the current news coming from Israel and the attacks they are suffering from Hamas, Hezbollah, Iran, and others. Let's be careful here, my friends. When the Bible shows us that God raises up adversaries against Israel, and when those adversaries are wicked, idol-worshipping people, God is not abandoning his love for or his covenant with Israel. On the contrary, God is bringing discipline in his loving mercy. For without his mercy, God's holy justice would call for God's final judgment on Israel. Naaman's victories against Israel should be seen as God using Naaman and his soldiers to bring God's discipline on Azariah and Joram and the Israelites who had turned their backs on God. And with God's discipline always came God's invitation to repentance and restoration. If you'll read the story of Naaman in 2 Kings chapter 5, you'll see that a young Israelite girl had been taken hostage during one of those raids from Aram, and she was servant to Naaman's wife. Have you learned that sometimes, even in what appears to be the most horrific situations, God may be working his larger plan and purpose for his glory and the good of his people? This servant girl told Naaman's wife about Elisha being a prophet of the God of Israel, and because she had heard some of the miracles of Elijah and Elisha, she urged them to consider sending word to Elisha to see if he would be willing to help Naaman. Now think about that for a moment. What do you suppose would lead this young captive girl to suggest they, warrior Syrians, enemies of Israel, try to seek help from Elisha, an Israelite prophet and the God of Israel? It appears, as ridiculous as the plan sounded, Naaman was desperate to be free from his leprosy, so he went to Aram's king, who I presume was Ben-Hadad, 1 Kings chapter 20. And because Naaman was so respected and successful, Aram's king was quick to approve his time away, giving him a personal letter from the king of Aram to the king of Israel, as well as significant gifts. Have you ever said or written something that was misunderstood and suddenly an argument was brewing, which led to a confrontation, all because of a misunderstanding? That's what happened here, for evidently the king of Aram had misunderstood and thought it was the king of Israel or a high-ranking official in his administration who had miraculous abilities. The letter said, "With this letter, I'm sending you my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of his leprosy." 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 6. Oh my, it doesn't take much imagination for us to put ourselves in that throne room and imagine what the king of Israel was thinking. The record gives us his reaction. The king tore his robes and said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he's trying to pick a quarrel with me." 2 Kings 5. I presume Naaman was asked to step out of the throne room as the king of Israel and his top officials decided what to do about this volatile situation. So I invite us to pause also and ponder. What are the options before these men, and what would be the wise course of action to avoid a military confrontation? We'll come back here tomorrow to see what happened. But in the meantime, are you caught up in a misunderstanding that is getting explosive? What would be the next wise thing for you to do? Here's a song to help us contemplate this as we talk with God about it, even if your misunderstanding has caused some tears.